Let's open our Bibles today to John chapter 16. I'd like to look at verses 22 through 33. I've entitled this, Be of Good Cheer. And that's not always easy, is it? Some days it's just hard to be of good cheer, but you've got to always keep eternity in mind. You've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You've got to be able to look in the mirror, say, yes, I wasn't all I should have been. I was a lot I shouldn't have been. But nonetheless, God loved me. God never gave up on me. God saved me. I've been born again. I'm a new creation. I've been adopted into the family of God. I am a believer priest. I am a soldier of the cross. I am an ambassador for Christ. You see, when you start your day out like that, recognizing who you are in Christ Jesus and going out to face this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world with everything that Satan can throw at you, which is why you're wise to start the day out before the throne of God, whether it's on your knees, sitting in a chair, wherever it may be. But you're wise to start the day out every day going before the throne of God, submitting and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, seeking the guidance, direction, and anointing of the Father throughout the day. As we go into this today, in John chapter 16, and once again, beginning with verse 22, Christ Jesus is just hours from the cross. He's had his last meal with his disciples. Judas has left the table to seal his eternal fate. He sealed his eternal fate when he turned his back on Jesus, disregarded everything he'd been a part of, disregarded everything he'd been taught, disregarded everything he had allowed to be a part of, and at the end of the day, wasn't satisfied. He is going now to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is talking to the 11, and Christ is consoling the 11 in his parting words to them. They're still at the table, but these are his parting words to them. We begin with John 16 in this session, with verse 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. These were solemn moments, very solemn moments of uncertainty for his disciples. There was the washing of the feet of his disciples. Remember, Jesus got up from the table, took a basin filled with water, and washed the feet of his disciples. But in it all, and through it all, they were sensing something of his emotions. They knew that something was not as it always was. Without fully understanding all that was being said, Jesus continues. He understood that they would need further illumination. They would need further understanding, further comprehension. And don't we all need that? Day after day, don't we need that? But he continues now, as he is spending his last evening with them, his last meal with them, his last hours with them. In John 16, 23, he continues, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. That day is coming when you will have direct access to God the Father yourself. That's what he's saying to them here. In that day, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God is going to come to indwell men, to dwell among men. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. When he says to them, that day is coming when you will have direct access to the throne of God yourself, Pentecost. Pentecost is in view here. The Spirit of God would come, and the Spirit of God would come to indwell believers. He says to them, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. It's understood that if we pray those things that we pray in accordance with his will, did you hear me? It's important that we pray in accordance with his will. What did Jesus do? Not my will, but thine be done. Yes, he would have preferred to bypass the cross, but it couldn't be done. There had to be that sinless, willing blood sacrifice I keep talking to you about. And he was that sacrifice. The cross could not be ignored. The cross could not be bypassed. He had to go to the cross. You see, it's understood, he is saying to them, that if we pray, and he says to us, those things we pray, we should pray in accordance with his will. Now, stop and listen to me. If we pray in accordance with his will, those prayers are going to be answered. Trust me. Trust the word of God. Trust the word of God. If we pray those things that are in accordance with his will, they will assuredly be answered. The word of God says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. You see, if we know it's his will, if I know what I am praying is his will, then I can approach his throne with certainty, as can you. If we know that what we're praying is in accordance with his will, we can approach his throne with certainty. And trust me, there's so much we can pray today that we know to be in accordance with his will, in alignment with his word, in alignment with his will, that we pray and we know that he will answer them. Still, the means of how he answers, hear me carefully now, the means by which he answers, we go to the throne. We take our prayer request to him in prayer. Now, if we know his will and we pray his will, then we have confidence that he is going to answer that prayer in his timing, in his way. The timing of the answer is entirely up to him. You see, we're praying things that we don't know what else he may have to work out in situations and circumstances and in the lives of others before it would be appropriate for him to answer that specific prayer. However, we know he hears and he answers prayer. The timing, we have to leave it up to him. You're praying things right now, and you're a little bit discouraged, a little bit impatient. I've been praying it and praying it and praying it, and I haven't seen the answer. Stay off his throne. I'll say that to you a time or two more in this message. Stay off his throne. Give him elbow room. You see, we don't know all that is involved in supplying the answer to the prayer that we're praying. We learn much from the prayer of Jesus. We learn much from the prayer of Jesus when he was facing the cross. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus praying, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Shouldn't we pray the same way? We can present our petition. We can present our desires. We can present our requests, but in it all and through it all, should our attitude not be, thy will be done? I don't know all the ins and outs of this thing, Father. I don't understand all the ins and outs, but I know this, you do. So if I go up his throne, if I go before his throne, and I'm praying in accordance with his will, I know, if I know that I know that I'm praying in accordance with his will, that prayer is going to be answered. Now, it may not be answered in the time frame I expected. It may not even be answered in the way that I expected it to be answered, but it will be answered. Now, we don't always know that what we're praying is in accordance with his will, but we're sure of this. We are sure of this. Word of God says, now, this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I say to you once again, stay off his throne. Stay off his throne. Leave the means as to how he answers and the timing of his answer up to him. Don't try to tell him how to answer it, and don't try to tell him when to answer it. Leave the means and the methods by which he answers it up to him, and leave the timing of the answer up to him. Verse 24. Now, you have asked nothing in my name, Jesus said. He's training his disciples. He's teaching them in prayer. 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In them is, until now, you are not accustomed to asking, to praying in my name. See, this was still future. This is coming. He's been walking with them, talking with them, ministering, letting them minister with him, taking them in his ministry. They did not have the full picture yet. But he's saying to them, until now, you are not been accustomed. You have not been accustomed to asking or to praying in my name. But going forward, you will have direct access to my throne. Folks, what was true of them in that day is true of us in this day. What was true of them is true of those who have been born again today. I wish you would slow down and listen to me. This is so paramount. This is so important. I know that Satan has convinced you that you really have no clout in heaven. You're not worthy to approach the throne of God. Of course you're not. Who among us is? Who among us is really worthy to approach the throne of the Lord God Almighty? Who? Who among us is truly, truly qualified to approach the throne of God? But you see, what was true of them in that day is true of us today in our day, for those of us who've been born again. You see, one of the things that you have to learn to do, you have to understand your God-given throne rights. Let me slow down and say that to you. You must understand your God-given throne rights. And then you must exercise your God-given throne rights. In matters of the kingdom of God, the importance of those things that you are praying that are in alignment with the Word of God, in alignment with the will of God, in alignment with the Word of God. You see, it's a matter of eternal importance. God has turned all of his work over to the church. The church is the bride of Christ, I keep telling you. The church is the body of Christ on earth today. We are members of his body. Those of us who've been born again have direct access to the throne of God the Father in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, as enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And we go before the throne of God in matters of eternal importance. And you're living in a world. You are living in a world in which there is volumes to be prayed that are matters of eternal importance. You have to understand Satan is working every day of the world to bring about his agenda. Satan is at work at every level of every life of every nation in the world, seeking to bring about his plan, his design. And we, the blood-bought people of God, I didn't say the religious community. I said the blood-bought people of God, the blood-cleansed people of God. We are the ones who have access to the throne of God. And you have to understand all this. Yes, we have matters of personal importance. I've got things I'm concerned about. You have things you're concerned about. And that's okay. We have matters of personal importance. And we pray those things. But folks, there are matters of national importance. There are matters. There are those things of national importance. Anything and everything worthy of my attention, Jesus says. Jesus is inviting us to come before the throne of the Father, to come before his throne with anything and everything that is worthy of his attention. And how much is worthy of his attention? You see, he's concerned about the everyday affairs of your life. Stop and hear me. He is concerned about what concerns you. He is concerned about the everyday details of your life. He's concerned about what you're going to face tomorrow. He's concerned about what you're going to face 30 years from now if you're still here. He knows. And he's concerned. And he wants you, he wants me, he wants us to come to him with what bothers us. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. He can. And he invites us to come to his throne of mercy. His throne of mercy. Bring it all to him. Bring everything to him that concerns you. Don't try to ignore it. Don't try to hide it. Bring it to him. He can do something about it. He can handle it. And you understand this. He is concerned about the everyday details and affairs of your life, of my life, of his children. He always is. Now Jesus continues in John 16:25. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but now the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. You know what he's saying to them? I have thus far alluded to the Father. And he had. I have thus far alluded to the Father, but his language had been somewhat obscure and in Proverbs. That's been pointed out by others. Up to this point in time, his language with them had been somewhat obscure in terms of the Father, in terms of all the wrappings of eternity and the kingdom of God and what was coming. But he says to them, those truths I have shared will become increasingly more clear. It is as you move progressively. Oh, hear me, people of God. I have taught this so long. And I've been hitting it in recent weeks, time after time. Please understand. Please hear me. I don't care how long you've been a member of a church. You came into the family of God and the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And I keep telling you, you've got about 5 different levels of spiritual growth that you've got to come through to attain to any kind of spiritual maturity. And every individual listening to my voice at this time is involved in some level of spiritual growth if you've been born again. But these truths, Jesus says, these truths I have shared will become increasingly more clear and more understandable. He's saying to them in a sense, there's a lot I'm saying to you that you don't understand. There's a lot I'm saying to you right now that you don't understand. But that day is coming. that day is coming when you will have a better comprehension. You'll have a better understanding of everything I've been saying to you that has to some degree been somewhat obscure to you at this time. But understanding is coming. John 16:26. In that day, what day is he talking about? Pentecost. Pentecost. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. In that day, Pentecost. You see, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. Think about what he just said. In that day, you will ask in my name. When you go before the throne of God, in the name of Jesus, you're taking into consideration who he was, all he was, all he taught, all he did, all he said. You're taking all that into consideration because it is in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus that you gain access to the throne of God, and no other way, no other name given under heaven will gain you access to the throne of God. Now, understand this. He is putting them on notice. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. In that day, Pentecost. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. Now, think about what he just said. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. Think about what he said. In your relationship with me, you will have direct access to the Father. That's what he's saying to them. It's what he says to you if you've been born again. Now, if you have not been born again, the only direct access you have to the throne of God, really, realistically, is to go before the throne of God saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm so religious. I'm involved in all this religious activity. I'm involved in religious activity up to my eyebrows. But I'm not adopted into your family. I'm not born again. I'm not indwelt by the Spirit of God. My name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, I am so religious. You know how religious I am. I am so very, very religious. But I'm not born again. I have not been adopted into the family of God. I have not become a believer priest. I'm not a soldier of the cross. I'm not an ambassador for Christ. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, a child of Satan. You see, he is saying to them, in your relationship with me, you, my disciples, and all who will believe, will have direct access to the Father. Direct access. Do you understand your direct access? Hear me now. Do you understand your direct access to the creative power of the universe? Do you? Do you understand your direct access to the creative power of the universe? Do you understand your throne rights? Your throne rights as a believer priest? Do you? Do you access the throne? Do you walk in the fullness of who you are? Do you understand who you are? And you see, it is as we pray, as he prayed, at the end of the day, thy will be done. It's what Jesus prayed, facing the cross, thy will be done. You see, if I know his will, why not pray his will? Did you hear me? If I know his will, why not pray his will? And there's a lot about life that is not his will. Each of us have been involved in so much in our lives that were not his will for us. We were not in his will when we were in that expression of life. But think about this. Think about that which is so prevalent in our nation. Just slow down. Wind your watch, as I keep saying. Take the time to think about what is so prevalent in our nation today that is not in accordance with His will. How much is in your life that is not in accordance with His will? How much of your thought life is not in accordance with His will? How much of your lifestyle is not in accordance with His will? There's so much. We're surrounded every day by so much that is not in accordance with His will. And if we're not careful, we ourselves are, day by day by day, involved in so much that's not in accordance with His will. But then, there's a lot about life that is not prayed, isn't it? Let's be honest with ourselves. There's a lot about life that we don't pray. There's a lot of decisions to be made. There's a lot of things to be done that many times we're really not going before the throne of God in prayer. What do I do here, Father? What is Your will in this matter? How would You have me respond, Father? How would You have me react to this circumstance, this situation, this thing that's coming down the pike at me? I know it's coming. I know it's coming. What is Your desire for me in that situation, that circumstance? How do You want me to respond? How do You want me to react? You see, there's so much about life that we never pray. We never take it before the throne of God. And He wants you, He wants me, to share our hearts with Him. Everything that concerns us is a concern to Him, that it concerns us. And He wants us to come before Him with our concerns. Now we come to John chapter 16, verse 27. Jesus goes on, speaking to the 11 that night. For the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved Me, and have believed that I came forth from God. You have loved, and you are loved. You are loved by the Father, because you love Me. You are loved by the Father, because you have believed. Now let's slow down. Remind ourselves. Bear in mind those to whom He was speaking. Stop and slow down. Listen to me. Bear in mind those to whom He was speaking. He was speaking to those at the table. He was speaking to the 11 at that time, to those at the table, all of whom will fail the test in the garden at His arrest. You recall at His arrest how they all ran? Left Him standing there alone with those who came to arrest Him. And yes, they've heard everything He has to say at the table. This is His last set of instructions to them. And they're listening to everything He has to say, but they're listening without hearing. They're listening without really comprehending what He is saying and all that He's saying. And each and every one of them are going to fail the test in the garden when they come to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in spite of their failure, they will be restored. Glory be to God. Haven't we failed? Haven't you failed? Haven't I failed? Haven't we all from time to time failed? And yet, God did not dismiss us. Our name was not erased out of the Lamb's Book of Life just because we flunked a test, because we failed a test. No, we've been adopted into the family of God. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have been purchased. I, you, we who are born again, we are a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased by the glory and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16, 28, once again, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. He says, I left glory and I came to earth. And now I'm leaving earth and I'm going back to glory. He knows he's just hours from the cross. He knows he's just hours from giving up his life. He will have to will himself to death on that cross. Once he has suffered what he's got to suffer in the physical, emotional, spirit realm, and on that cross where he himself became sin, he who knew no sin became sin because he took upon himself the sins of all who would believe and receive in order that he could put those sins to death in himself. You must understand that spiritual reality. Sin has to die. And so long as the sin is on you, it's not dead. Those of us who have been born again, our sins were put to death in Christ Jesus on the cross. And then going forward, every time we sin, we can confess that sin, and that sin is put to death. That sin is put to death. God knew from eternity past every sin you would ever sin, every sin I would ever sin, and made provision on the cross for every sin that we would ever commit to be placed on Christ and die in Christ Jesus. John 16:29, his disciples said to him, "See, now you're speaking plainly and using no longer a figure of speech." They had better understanding, yes. They were starting to grasp something of what he was saying. They had better understanding, yet not fully grasping. Even at this point in time, they were not fully grasping all he was saying, but they thought they were understanding what he was saying. Now, Jesus goes on in verse 30 of John 16. Now, we are sure. Now, in John 16:30, they go on addressing the fact that they now understand. Now, we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this, we believe that you came forth from God. Believing, wanting to believe, yes. Wanting to understand, yes. But still, both in their belief and their understanding, both was imperfect. Their understanding of what he was saying, their belief in what he was saying, was still imperfect, and so much of that is in the church today. There's so much that is not understood. There's so much that is not embraced. There's so much that is not believed. And that same thing was true that night at the table with him sitting right there with them. John 16:31. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" Look at that question. Do you now believe? Let me ask you this. Should not each of us ask ourselves, do I now believe? Do I now believe? If so, what do I believe? If so, how much do I believe? If so, do I truly, truly believe? Or is it all lip service? Do I truly believe the word? Do I believe all the word? Am I embracing all the word? Do you now believe? Christ said to them. I think he could say the same thing to you. Same thing to me. Do you now believe? Do you now believe the word of God? Do you now believe the word of God in its entirety? Do you really grasp my death, my burial, my resurrection? Who I am, what I am, all I am. All that I am, all that I can do, all I have done, have you grasped it? Do you now really truly believe? That's something each of us have to deal with. What have I believed? How much have I believed? Do I truly believe the Word of God? Do I truly believe that He is all that the Word says He is? Have I believed that? Have I embraced that? You see, once you get there, you come into the kingdom of God. Once again, I'm going to bring this out. You come into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And then there's so much growing to be done. So much maturity to be gained. So much to be embraced. John 16:32 again. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He made a prophetic statement. He is making a prophetic statement to them. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, now, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. All that was fulfilled in the garden that very evening. Why? They ran. They left him standing there alone with those who come to arrest him. John 16:33. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, not in your denomination, not in your church affiliation, no, in me, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Do you have the peace of God? You'll never have the peace of God until you have peace with God. And you'll never have peace with God until you approach the throne of God saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I may be a religious sinner. I may be involved in religious activity week in and week out. So involved in so much religious activity, but I've never been born again. My name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have not been adopted into the family of God. I am not a soldier of the cross. I am not an ambassador for Christ. I do not represent Christ. And yet I know in my heart of hearts, folks, because I pray this almost daily, I know that I am addressing multitudes who are religious and one heartbeat from hell. That's where Nicodemus was. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, was just soaked in religious activity. And listen to me. The man was soaked in religious activity and one heartbeat from hell. Had he died before he came to Christ that night and fully started comprehending and understanding what it really meant for a sinful man to be reconciled to a holy God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trusting, not in a system of religion, trusting in Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Understanding that on that cross, he who knew no sin became sin because he took upon himself the sins of all who believe and receive. And then, when he died, he put those sins to death in himself. I have said what I'm about to say how many hundreds of times. On that cross, he reached back into eternity, past, and pulled to him all the sins that had been put to death through those sacrificial animals. Then he reached into the future from the cross and pulled to himself all the sins of all who would ever believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. And he put those sins to death in himself. Why? Sin has to die. That's the word of God. Sin has to die. Now, he's closing out his conversation with them. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. in the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to face problems. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have grief. You're going to have trials. You're going to come through level after level after level of demonic temptation. You're going to come through level after level of emotion. But you have to understand, in it all and through it all, as one born again, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing physically, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, no matter what you're going through, He's right there with you. Whatever your situation right now, He says to them, in the world you will have tribulation, sorrow, grief, problems. That's part of life, folks. That is an everyday part of life. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has already faced and overcome everything you will ever face. Everything I will ever face. He has already overcome and defeated everything we as believers are ever going to face. Take this to heart, folks, and every day of the world, get up, submitting and surrendering yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, and then throughout the day, remind yourself who you are in Christ Jesus, what you are in Christ Jesus, all that you are in Christ Jesus, what He's done for you, what He's doing for you, and what He's yet going to do for you. Heavenly Father, I ask You to take the message, Lord, the truth that is in the message. Jesus, You are the one speaking. We simply go into the Word of God and look to what You said to those that night, and it speaks to us tonight. But they were that side of Pentecost initially, and then they became this side of Pentecost, and we are this side of Pentecost. So now we, the believer priest, the ambassadors for Christ, the soldiers of the cross, adopted children of God, we are now indwelt by the creative power of the universe. Help us to understand our God-given position, our God-given rights, and our throne rights to come before Your throne day after day after day. Not only the things that we confront, but the things that are confronting this nation and the nations of the world and the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. And Father, if You'll do this, we'll give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.